Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people are bustling, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. The Friday Night Free Show continues East Coast style tonight. All right, we've got a lot of guests still to come here. We're not done with Mike Blewett. We got Rob Vino and Big Man on Campus ready to kick it with us here this evening. Or at least we hope. You know what I mean? There's no guarantees in this world, as we find out all the time. And that's why we say there's no locks, right? Even if something is already locked in, it's not locked. there's no locks in this world. All right? There's no locks in this world. Besides that, you're going to get screwed over. That's the lock. You want a lock? You're going to get screwed over. There's your lock. Edmonton Oilers get it done here this evening. Identical scores. 6-3 Edmonton over Colorado. 6-3 Minnesota over Seattle. But the news of the day today in the National Hockey League, Guy Lafleur, unfortunately, my favorite hockey player of all time, actually, Guy Lafleur. I've always been a Guy Lafleur fan, and I've never been a bigger fan of anybody. No one's ever surpassed him as far as my fandom is concerned. A larger-than-life figure. A larger-than-life figure that dominated in the 70s. Won 5 Stanley Cups. He's awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy Playoff MVP. First player in league history to produce 6 consecutive seasons with 50-plus goals, 100-plus points. Amazing stuff. And, you know, we talked about him on Game Time Decisions. And he's not the only one, but he's one of a few, actually, that people just don't realize just how big they were, right? Like, you know what I mean? Just how big the Montreal Canadiens were. We're talking about a Canadiens team that won 6 Stanley Cups in 10 years. Right? You want to talk about dominance. You know, you win 6 Stanley Cups in 10 years, and he's basically, listen, he's the best player on probably the best team ever. So that's all you need to, you know, that's all you need to know as far as his career is concerned. Now, Don Cherry and Guy Lafleur are forever linked. And I saw that Don Cherry was trending today because of the passing of Guy Lafleur. And you know what? Rightfully so. They are. You know what I mean? It was like Ali Fraser type of deal. The Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins used to play all the time in the 70s. And the Montreal Canadiens would beat them all the time. It was just, you know what I mean? It was one of those sports rivalries. And it would always end in a painful fashion for Boston. And none more so than when Don Cherry and the Boston Bruins had too many men on the ice. And Guy Lafleur flew down the right side and teed one up. And in fact, as I speak, I'm just showing the highlight right there. Then Yvon Lambert Yvon Lambert went on to score the winner after, but there's the famous Don Cherry standing there looking to the crowd. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. It affects the players, the hustlers, the people at Bustler, but everybody else in between. We're kicking it here. And so we were just talking about Guy Lafleur on the Sirius side of things. And shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. But the passing of Guy Lafleur shooken the hockey world up. One of the greatest goal scorers of all time. And, you know, it sounds cliche because we were just talking about a guy last week in the same vein in Mike Bossy, who also was one of the greatest goal scorers of all time. Listen, Guy Lafleur had a little bit more flash, right? Like, I mean, he's the flower, Lafleur. The flower. And I know they call Marc-Andre Fleury the flower. You shouldn't. You can't. You can't. You can't, like, people, like, they take these people's nicknames and say, you can't do it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care, like, whatever, his name. No, you can't do it. There's one flower, his name was Guy Lafleur. I tell you, they got a hell of a lineup there right now between Mike Bossy and Guy Lafleur. Guy Lafleur, though, instead of being sad, you know, it kind of sucks. As I stated, if you're just joining us, my favorite hockey player of all time. It sucks. But at the same point in time, he'd been ill for a little while. He lived a very good life. You know, it's sort of like the bands. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was just different. Right? Like, there's popular bands now and stuff, but it's not the same, right? Like, it's not the same as, like, man, Motley Crue are coming in, the arena shows, and, like, it was the same thing. Like, you know, the New York Islanders with Mike Bossy and Butch Goren and Trache and Billy Smith and the Canadians, it just was larger than life, and it hasn't been duplicated, right? How many teams have won? How many teams have won 6 cups in 10 years? Right? And then, you know, you had the New York Islanders and then into the Edmonton Oilers. But a lot of hockey royalty have passed in the last week here with Mike Bossy and now Guy Lafleur. Incidentally, both from Quebec. Mike Bossy's from Montreal. Guy Lafleur was closer to Quebec City. Rest in peace, Guy. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The Friday Night Free Show continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge?
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The Pips, the Players, the Hustlers, the Mike Blewitts, and everybody else in between. It's been too long since we've breaking it down with Mike Blewitt. He was, of course, at the Final Four in the Bayou in New Orleans. And Jay Wright has stepped down. Get into the Sixers and the Raptors, and Mike and I will be in Las Vegas, Nevada for the upcoming National Football League draft. Mike, a lot of stuff going on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Excited to be with you next week. I think we're going to have a ton of fun, and obviously we'll try to make some money on the draft process because I think it's a market that you and I have followed for a really long time, and we can show some people some good numbers.
Well, we're going to be one of like 750,000 people on the Strip. I think it's one of the largest gatherings. It really is one of the largest public gatherings in American history. It's like 3 Woodstocks, essentially. It's just going to be over the top. So let's actually start off with the National Football League draft. So we've got all the talk of the wide receivers and the potential trades.
And we've got the situation with the first overall pick, in which suddenly people do not believe it's going to be Aiden Hutchinson. So are you buying in? Who do you think the number one pick is going to be? Because Aiden Hutchinson right now is a minus 185 at FanDuel.
Yeah, and I remember listening to you earlier in the week where you had talked a little bit about how that number has come down quite a bit. So it's, even though it's still at a fairly heavily juiced number, it's still something that there's far more value on now than there was even just a couple of weeks ago.
Starting to go back up, too, because it got down to 65, 70 cents. Now it's starting, starting to get back up.
People are going to buy it, try to buy at the bottom. I don't think there would be anything wrong strategically with the Jaguars taking either of the offensive linemen. It just feels like at this moment, they are still a very depleted roster on talent. They've addressed the offensive line this offseason by signing a free agent, by extending one of their own, and they have Josh Allen on one side to get another edge rusher and potentially create problematic defensive players for the other teams, I think is the direction that they need to go. We know they're not going corner or safety or anything like that. I think this is edge rusher. They have the QB. They have offensive linemen. That's the way I feel like they're going to go. And I'm not going to get cute about it. I don't think it's Trayvon Walker. I don't think it's Kayvon Thibodeau. Although, if you ask me right now who would be the wild card pick, I would probably say him. I still think it's Aiden Hutchinson.
Now, what the Detroit Lions pick second, I think they would like to trade the pick potentially. But I don't think there's any player that's worthy of trading up for, although we could have said the same thing about Mitch Trubisky years ago, right?
That's right.
So you never really know what's going to happen, but what's your feeling with the Detroit Lions and how they're going to, how they went offensive line last year. So they went with Sewell.
Yeah.
They're looking to build a foundation. To me, and you know, listen, their dream scenario is that the Jags don't take Aiden Hutchinson, obviously.
Correct.
But let's say they do. Do they go with Trayvon Walker or do they go with a Kayvon Thibodeau? My gut tells me they're going to go with a defensive lineman. I think they – it wouldn't shock me if Thibodeau went second overall to them.
It won't surprise me.
Or Trayvon Walker, actually.
That's right. It won't surprise me either. I think edge is really one of their top needs. They are very light on wide receiver, but none of these wide receivers are likely to go too.
And it's a deep wide receiver class. They
exactly
can scoop
right.
one up in the second round.
You know, the funny part of what we're saying about the trade market, though, Gabe, is – In this scenario in recent years, when you and I sat here and many others sat here and said, this is a perfect opportunity for this team to trade down. Well, the other 31 teams know that too. And they're not going to give them all that much to trade down in order to have them reconstruct their roster. So they'll probably just let them sit there. It's too high of a valued pick for people to move up, to your point, for somebody like Malik Willis or even for a Garrett Wilson. It's too much to pay. So I think they sit there and take one of the defensive linemen. I think it's Trayvon Walker or Kayvon Thibodeau. This is a roster is a long way from being complete. They desperately need wideouts, but that's something that they will address down the road because they have a high pick in the second round as well.
The Houston Texans are really interesting, aren't they?
Yeah.
In that they have a lot of needs, yet they seem, is it a smokescreen? Do you believe that they're committed to Davis Mills for real? As their quarterback or just for this year and they don't like these quarterbacks? Because I don't get the feeling they're not taking Kenny Pickett third overall. Nope. I don't get the feeling they're, oh, yeah, Kenny, you know, Kenny Pickett. Or I don't believe they're taking Malik Willis third overall. So do they just sort of continue to build the foundation? I've got them going with Evan Neal. But then you got to ask yourself, all right, you're getting this big lineman. It's like almost getting like a security guard to protect like an empty house. It's like, well, there's nothing in there. What are you guys protecting? But you've got to start somewhere, right, Mike? And you know the foundations of football teams are always built on the lines. What do you think they do, the Texans? Because they're not going to take a skill position player. They got to take a D lineman or an O lineman.
I mean, they need skill position players everywhere, but you're right. They can't take them. I don't think they'd take them here. Again, another candidate to trade back. They need as many picks as possible. They've botched the draft and trades in recent years that have depleted them of both talent and picks. So at the moment, I'm not comparing the two, but I think you have to look at this as in a similar way what Philly did last year with Jalen Hurts. They're saying all the right things. They'll give him a shot. if he plays great, and Davis Mills was pretty good. On a bad football team, they won as many games as they did the year before with Deshaun Watson. They won four games. I get the extra game and all of that, but I would look at it the same way. They're going to give him a chance. They'll say all the right things. If he's bad, we're moving on. And we'll probably be a bad team picking high again where there's more talent at the top of the draft at the quarterback position, whether it's Bryce Young or Spencer Rattler or any other names you want to throw in there.
C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud, exactly right. Those names will be out there for them to take. So I think they can play with Mills this year. And again, what is the pick? What is the breaking point where somebody says, I have to go up and get Willis. I have to go up and get Pickett. I don't think it's here. And to your point about offensive line, I'm all with the building blocks. I would never criticize any team for taking offensive linemen in the first round. I just don't know if they'll do that because they are already paying guys. They've already paid guys like Laramie Tunsil a ton of money, heavy on their books recently. And I just wonder if they take whomever is left of the defensive linemen, which is Hutchinson, Walker, and Thibodeau. Thibodeau at three would be kind of a gift. I start to wonder if he's not going to be there at three.
That's 5.5. And same thing. That's starting to go back up where people are realizing, oh, well, maybe he's probably going to go in the top five. And, you know, his stock dropped for no good reason.
He was the guy where you had to jump on that market. All the rumors were bull.
Yeah.
He was never going to be past 9 or 10. Never. And he's not even going to be past 5.
He was slated to be the top pick all year. Yeah. And the smear campaign worked.
It did.
In a sense. And here we are right now. But suddenly he's moved to 4.5 right now. So we were sharp to get in. And, you know, you saw the video. We did the video earlier in the week. And we've been talking about Kayvon Thibodeau a lot. And Mike Tenier from FBI Outsiders, New York Times, when I was talking to him about Kayvon, he had a good line and a good point in which he said he talks to people about Kayvon and people say they heard from someone that heard from someone that heard from someone that heard from someone that maybe he doesn't love the game or that, you know, or maybe he doesn't play hard on every snap. I spoke to a coach last week. He goes, Gabe, I've been coaching football for 40 years. He goes, nobody plays hard every snap.
Yeah. And Trevor Lawrence and Myles Garrett, two former number one picks, had the same thing said about them leading up to the draft. It was real about Myles Garrett because he likes art and poetry, and maybe he's not committed for 10 years. Who cares?
Who cares?
He's 21. Why would he be a fully formed adult right now?
Anthony Edwards, they said the same thing.
That's right.
If you recall coming out, because they said, who's your favorite team? Because I don't watch the NBA. I'm not an NBA fan. Said, you remember? He said, "Who's Alex Rodriguez?" I don't know.
Yeah,
he was like,
"I'm not
I don't
really
know.
That into basketball."
Yeah, he said, "I was never like a dream to be in the NBA. I'm just good at it." And now you look, he's clearly enjoying himself, right? And he's pretty damn good at it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi. We're breaking it down. Countdown and tip-off is on the roller coaster at the amusement park. The House of Horrors continues as we're calling the NBA playoffs an amusement park, except it's actually a House of Horrors. But, hey, depends on what side of the roller coasters that you have been on. Man, we were talking about it. We talked about it before the games tonight on Game Time Decisions about taking teams when they're down by double digits because nobody's dead in these NBA playoff games. Rob Vino steps up at RobVinoSports.com, WagerTalk.com. Rob, it's always a pleasure, my man. First things first, happy 34th wedding anniversary. You weren't with us the last week. I saw you and the wife went on a cruise, on a local cruise, and we hope you enjoyed yourself. It's good to have you back. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, thanks, Gabe. I appreciate it. You know, my son, my oldest, actually had given us that as a Christmas gift, but it's too cold to go out in January, so we saved it for our anniversary. It was a nice night, you know. Just 34 years is a long time, Gabe. For me, it's better than half a lifetime. So same woman, 34 years, not too bad, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's been longer for her, Rob.
Yeah, it's without question.
All kidding aside, so Rob Vino with us. So, Rob, man, it had really has been a crazy playoffs. You know, as NBA fans, I kind of knew that these playoffs were going to be a little bit different than past ones. You know, I did think it was going to be more competitive. I do see sort of somewhat of a passing of the torch and younger players starting to step up right now in the NBA. But I'd be lying if I told you I thought it would be this crazy and there'd be this many comebacks. It really is on a nightly basis now where if a team is up by 10, a team is up by 16, hey, even if a team is up by 25, it doesn't mean the game is over. Normally, this is not the case.
Yeah, no, it doesn't even matter if it's a one seed, Gabe. I mean, I'll go back to Phoenix, New Orleans, game one. Phoenix sitting there with a 25-point lead, and next thing I know, you know, New Orleans has cut that thing to 9. I'm sitting here laying 10 with 38 seconds left. I'm sweating that game out. So it's been one right after the other without question. I think, you know, tonight the Chicago Bulls took one on the chin. There was no comeback there, but I tell you what, if you've done as a bettor what you talked about in your intro there, and that is waiting for somebody to go on a huge run and then just in-game betting the other side, you're picking up a lot of cash here. I don't know if it's going to continue this way, but coaches need to make their teams aware that we got to keep playing, even though we're just completed a 21-0 run. My goodness.
And we're really seeing some historical stuff, man. I mean, look last night. It's hard to keep track of these nights. But as far as the T-Wolves are concerned, a 26-point lead at one point, and teams that have a 25-point lead or more in the playoffs had won 380 times and had lost 8 times. I mean, really? That's what we're dealing with right now. Toronto Raptors the other night. Troy, we'll get to this series, and I'm actually in Toronto for game 4. Toronto Raptors the other night were up by 10.5. We're 17-0 in franchise history at home in the playoffs when leading by double digits at the half. Like I said, it's just night after night, man. One by one, these records, these trends, and these things just get shattered and punched in the mouth. And how about tonight, the Atlanta Hawks? I guess not shocking because the Atlanta Hawks are a very good home team. But once again, look, the Atlanta Hawks trailed by as many as 16 against the Miami Heat tonight, making it their third largest playoff comeback in the last 25 seasons. And it's funny because the only two other ones were actually against the Philadelphia 76ers last year. So it goes to show the modern NBA, it really isn't like the old days anymore.
No, you know, there used to be a saying, you want to watch an NBA game, just turn on the last 2 minutes and see what happens. And that's almost where we're at right now, Gabe. You know, if you go back to the Brooklyn-Boston game one, I think Brooklyn goes on a, you know, like a 17-0 or a 19-0 run into the fourth quarter and takes the lead and looks like they have it. In the last second, Jason Tatum layup wins it. It's just, you're never safe here. We got a producer over at wagertalk.com who had Memphis last night. And, you know, after the game, he writes, I got to learn to stop throwing in the towel too early with these games. And that's exactly what we're alluding to here. I happen to be on the total tonight on the short end of 221.5. Atlanta-Miami falls to 221. We're seeing some of that.
There's been a couple of those too.
There's no question. There's no question. I mean, it's interesting, Gabe, because I find myself now the way these games have gone yesterday and say, kind of looking at first halves, it seems like the defense doesn't really show up for anybody until the game is on the line late in the second half, fourth quarters. We see some dreadful scoring performances over this first round of the playoffs in fourth quarters. And I will say one thing, a trend that continues to cash and cashed again tonight with the Atlanta first half, teams down 0-2 coming home, and are favored in the first half. If they're home in the first half, they're now 18-3-1 after the Hawks cash. Toronto did it the other night. And we see the odds makers compensating like crazy, right, Gabe? I mean, Toronto's a 1.5-point favorite, a 1-point favorite in the first half, but a 2-point underdog full game, 3-point gap tonight.
Oh, they've been jacking these money lines, Rob, in the first halves too, man, like jacking them up.
I see $2 for Brooklyn tomorrow, money line first half. They're 3.5 first half, 3.5 full game. So obviously bookmakers are aware of the 18-3 run or trend, whatever you want to call it. And they're making you pay a tax, but it's not stopping these things from getting there. Tomorrow, Brooklyn first half, I guess you just blindly play it at this point in time.
Well, we have been. We have been blindly playing it. And it was a nice 10-0 run throughout the week this week until last night, the last two games, it didn't happen. But we often see this. And I know, listen, one of your colleagues, Ralph Michaels, had some numbers as far as teams that are down 0-3, like the Toronto Raptors are against the Philadelphia 76ers. And very similar situation. The teams that are down 0-3 at home have done very well in the first quarter and the first half, but not so well in the game, ultimately. Right? And we see this time and time again. You know, the adrenaline, the crowd's into it. You hit a couple of shots early. The other team hasn't cranked it up yet. And then reality sets in as the game goes on. And as you stated, too, there seems to be more, you know, there's higher scoring early in these games. The defensive intensity picks up, but also, quite frankly, so does the pressure, Rob. Right? And it's easy for us to sit back and watch these players miss shots. But look, Kevin Durant, man, one of the greatest players of all time, the other night went 0-for-10 in the second half. It happens to the best of them, and we're seeing a lot of the younger players. We saw with the Raptors, Siakam tightened up in the second half the other night, couldn't hit a shot. We see it with the Denver Nuggets. We've seen it across the board with these teams. The Minnesota Timberwolves, really bad shot selection, you know, Brick City late in games when it actually matters.
Yeah, 12 points fourth quarter. Carl Anthony Towns completely frustrated. We've seen that a couple of times now within the last 7 or 8 days. The one game where he fouled out in the play-in game.
Yeah.
Then, of course.
See, that's another thing, Rob. That's another thing that we've been seeing a lot of, where a player will be awesome or a player will be terrible, then he'll bounce back, and then he'll be terrible again. like it really is hit or miss.
I'd say, and with Dallas last night against Utah, you would have thought, at least, you know, it just logic would tell you that situationally it's a good spot for Utah. They come in 1-1, first game at home. They realize Luka's comeback is on the horizon. Let's get this one here. And Dallas comes back out and shoots threes as well as they did the game before. And a guy like Maxi Kleber, who had hit 18% free throws from January 1st till the other day, all of a sudden he goes 8 for 11, and then, you know, the team hits 13 more. He's hitting a bunch of them. So it is, it's wild stuff, Gabe, that's for sure. And we'll see how it continues here. I think once we weed it out and get into the deeper rounds, but we've seen some injuries that are going to affect things, not necessarily tonight, but Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, in the next round where they probably both won't be present. That probably affects some things for Phoenix and Milwaukee.
Well, speaking of injuries, it sounds as if though Luka Doncic is ready to go, yet the number, I'm seeing a 5.5 right now. You know, what do you make of this then right now? And the fact that they won, are they going to hold him out one more game? I think they've held him out long enough. If he's good to go, it's time to unleash him and get him on the court, even though they are playing good basketball without him right now. So I guess there are multiple ways of looking at this. But as far as the market is concerned, it's 5.5, which leads me to believe that the book doesn't believe that he's playing.
Yeah, and I think the increase that you've seen in the total would indicate the same thing, Gabe. Heading into that series, a couple of Dallas beat writers had indicated that without Luka, they were going to try and push pace and shoot threes in an effort to really neutralize Rudy Gobert's presence. They didn't want to have to go into half court against Gobert. First game, they didn't really execute it all that well. They challenged Gobert and didn't push that much. But you could hear Jason Kidd in a couple of sideline timeouts telling his team, especially Jalen Brunson, get the board and push and push and push. In the last two games, that's what they've done. It's caused the total to go over both times. When Luka gets back in the lineup, they become way more methodical. We know they were the 30th pace team in the NBA. So they're slow with him out there. He takes the air out of the ball. But without him, they're running, and with the total going up and with the Utah price going up, it would indicate, at least tonight, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That thing could come steaming back down. But I'm in agreement with you that I think if Luka's ready, get him out there. But you have to understand that, and we thought this right after the win in Game 3, that Dallas just bought themselves some more time. If, in fact, he's not good enough to go, you're up 2-1. Rest them again and bring them back in game five at home. So we'll see what they decide to do. But I would expect, personally, I think Luka's going to go. The line doesn't show that tonight. We may see something different tomorrow. That's a 4:30 East Coast start.
All right, so hang in here, Rob. We'll take a quick break. Rob will join us on the other side. We'll hit tomorrow's games. We'll break it down, the Late Night Anger Management Class NBA Playoff Edition. And then next week, we're breaking it down in Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Friday Night Freak Show. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. Throwing it down on Sirius XM channel 159, a money to 1090 ESPN radio. Kicking it with Rob Vino. Rob Vino, sports.com, wagertalk.com. So let's get into the games, Rob. And the first game up on Saturday is the game that I'm going to be attending. And you are in Sixer country, so I know you've watched this series closely. What a wild game the other night. We talked about teams blowing leads, and the Raptors blew the lead. I didn't like them awarding Doc Rivers that timeout, but at the same point in time, you know, the Raptors blew a 16-point lead. So it is what it is, and they had their opportunities to close out. How do you feel about this? And we should bring up as well the Joel Embiid situation. So Joel Embiid, his thumb was already taped up. It got hit pretty hard a couple of times the other night. And, you know, reports were out of practice today that he was in pain, but he was just, you know, he was going to suck it up and play. But it is causing serious discomfort. I have to wonder, though, if he gets hit again early in the hand. And, you know, they're up 3-0. Is it worth actually leaving him out there? And a lot of teams down 3-0, Rob, I'd be worried about it. But the fact that the Raptors are playing at home, there is a tradition and a legacy, a history of actually playoff success with the Raptors. Like a sweep would be embarrassing for them, even though they're sort of a year or two ahead of schedule of what they're looking to do. But how do you think this plays out?
Well, I think Toronto has the mindset to come to play. I don't think, you know, there's other situations over on the Western Conference side where I think teams are ready to go home, but I don't think Toronto's ready to go home. It's just a question of whether or not they can, you know, match up. They probably played as good a game as they could play defensively against Philly the other night and just couldn't get the job done. So they need to have a little more second half offense. You talked about that before. I think they're going to come to play. Joel Embiid, as of the 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, NBA.com injury report is listed as available. Like you said,
and Scotty Barnes is listed as doubtful, just for the record. Toronto Raptors, Barnes, doubtful.
Boy, and that's hurt them in this series, Gabe. I don't know. Maybe certain people don't think it's as big a loss as I do, but I think that really hurt them losing Scotty Barnes here. And that's from a guy who had a Toronto series ticket at plus 155. I thought they were, you know, going to be the winner of this series, and certainly they're not going to win four straight. But as for tomorrow, I would look, you know, the games have trended under ever since game one, and there's been very few shot attempts. You look at the field goal attempts combined by these teams last couple of games, even with overtime, very low amount of shots even attempted. So I think they're settled in. They're anchored in. Toronto will come with good defensive effort again. Philadelphia has shown pretty good defense at times, too. I'd probably look under here, but that's assuming that if the game, you know, isn't going Philly's way and Toronto lets go of the rope. I don't think they will, so I would probably look under. Side is difficult for me. I don't really want to lay 3 with Philadelphia. Then again, you know, if Toronto's down late, turns into a foul fest because their season is slipping away, I don't want to be on that side either. I think under is probably the best way for me to go.
I think the Raptors in the first quarter is a look as well. Yeah, first quarter, first half. Because put it this way, if they get steamrolled in the first quarter, it's going to be a long afternoon It's going to be a very long afternoon at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. Now it's called the Scotiabank Arena. And Scotiabank, of course, obviously a bank, except the building, you can't tell, like, from the outside, like, sort of. It looks like an arena, but if you look at it from, like, overhead, it sort of looks like an airport hangar because it used to be called the Air Canada Centre. So I don't know, like, I don't know if they're going to call it the bank now or something like that, but it's just, it doesn't have the same feel to it. It's like, kind of looks like a hangar, but it's named after a bank now. So we talked about Utah and Dallas, and kind of tough right now to gauge this game, guys. We were talking about the total, and as Rob brought up, when Luka Doncic isn't there, the Mavericks really look to push the pace. Now there's talk about Luka not having any discomfort. But he's not officially playing, and I don't know. Like, the lines makers are pretty quick with this stuff. If they felt he was going to play, I doubt they'd be letting you take Dallas plus 5.5. So this one's a little tricky right now. Total 212.5. I am leaning with the over with Rob there as well. And let's get into one of the main events here, because Saturday's a great day of basketball all day long.
Yeah.
But you get Boston and Brooklyn. Saturday night in Brooklyn. Brooklyn Nets laying 3. And you talked about the dichotomy of the, you know, the first quarters and first half lines compared to the game lines. You know there's going to be a lot of money on the Brooklyn Nets first quarter, first half tomorrow, and game itself. Do you think the number goes up?
I think it probably does, because it's a 7:30 prime time East Coast game, so that's plenty of time for people to get to the window. You've maybe accumulated a loss or two if you're better by that time and you want to add on. But, you know, Brooklyn's going to be the bandwagon side here. I got one for you here, though, Gabe, and I'll tell your audience right now that I'm actually on this play, Boston-Brooklyn, over 108.5 in the first half. First of all, 108.5 looks small to me, but then I went back through their season series. All 6 games that they have played have all gone over this total. The lowest first half they played was a 111, and with Kyrie and Kevin Durant in the lineup, they've easily gone over. But the 3 games before that, remember how scattered Brooklyn's lineup was. I mean, that was a game where Kyrie and KD were on the same team and didn't play, and it still went over in the first half. So any situation you can think of in Boston, in Brooklyn, whoever's playing, they've managed somehow to get over this 108.5 number. I don't know how the bookmakers set this line, but I think it's shy and should be bet accordingly, just based off of what they've done this season. Really hasn't mattered who's played. Even if one team has been ice cold in the first half, the other side has been red hot to compensate. And we've seen some of that in this series, too. When one team gets shut down offensively, the other team goes on a run. It's been another series of runs. And I think over 108.5 in the first half is a really good play that not many people are looking at, simply because we all want to get on this Brooklyn first half, which I'm not going to argue anybody off of.
Rob Vino with us just for a couple of more moments. Great stuff as always, Rob, and I'm glad that you brought this up, because we've got another one as well, and I'm sure you're aware of it, but for everybody tuning in, but we've been banging on this all week. So Memphis and Minnesota, the 2 highest scoring first quarter teams in the NBA, and similar situation, Rob, all 3 games have gone over the number here in the first quarter. So not the first half, you're just talking about Brooklyn and the Nets first half. This is a first quarter trend. First one was they got to 74. Game 2, they got to 65. They put a 58.5 up the other night, and it got to 60. So it got there. You could say barely got there, but they hit a shot to get there with like 38, 40 seconds left type thing, and then there was no more scoring. There was 2 misses to finish, so it wasn't like it was a buzzer. And I'm just, you know, I find it fascinating because it keeps going over. And they set a lower number tomorrow. I'm seeing right now FanDuel's got a 56.5, and I'll tell you, I will be plenty over this. What's your take on that?
Yeah, no, I've got it already, Gabe, and I'll give you one more. Memphis team total in the first quarter has been an absolute ATM machine for the most part of this season. Now, they only got to 21 last game. You mentioned the 60. I was on that game, too. That game got to 60 with no help from Memphis, only 21 points, but yeah. Memphis, their team total throughout the remainder of the regular season had constantly been first quarter 30.5, 31, and then it rose, I think, in game 1 of this series all the way up to 32.5. And tomorrow it's down to like 29. And I just think you have to try and take advantage of that, too. I did play first quarter because I think both teams are high-scoring first quarter. No sense of the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's just roll with first quarter over at this price. But if you wanted to get involved in more than one spot in the first quarter, Memphis team total over, especially off the miserable 21-point first quarter in Game 3, I think would probably be another good way to go. Time has proven it's been successful.
Excellent insight and analysis, as always, Mr. Rob Vino, robvinosports.com, wagertalk.com. So, Rob, NFL draft's coming up. We've got about 20 seconds left. Do you dabble in draft props at all? Do you bet on the draft?
I do, actually. I set this weekend aside to look at it.
All right, so follow Rob online, and we'll collaborate. I've got some picks already. I've got a couple of videos that I posted out there. We've been all over the draft. It's always a pleasure, Rob. Enjoy the games. Once again, happy 34th wedding anniversary. Always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Rob Vino. Great stuff with Rob Vino, as always. Thanks to Rob Vino for kicking it with us on the Friday Night Freak Show. I am Gabriel Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 159, to get you caught up to date with the updated numbers right now. And, you know, it's a 24-hour market, obviously. And we've been talking a lot about the Sixers and the Raptors. It's back up to 3 right now. It's 2.5. It's back up to 3. Scotty Barnes, of course, got injured in Game 1. And as Rob just talked about, you would figure, okay, Scotty Barnes, not a household name. He's a rookie after all. And he scores 15 points a game. You know, how much of an impact does it have? He's a starter. He plays as many minutes as any of the vets do. And quite frankly, he's probably better than they are. Right. It's one of these deals where in a couple of years, Scotty Barnes is going to be a real star. Like he's got that it factor, and he's got ice in his veins. It really has affected the Raptors. Now, no excuse. Everyone's got injuries. Like, you know what I mean? One by one, every team's got problems, man. So nobody's shedding a tear for anybody. But it doesn't look like he's going to be playing tomorrow, which is strange because earlier in the week, he had that smirk about him playing and feeling better. And now, you know, once again, it doesn't appear as if though, from the reports I'm seeing, it says doubtful. It went from like sort of optimistic at the pregame, at the shoot around today and their practice today, to people after the practice saying, no, not so optimistic about Barnes. Now, Joel Embiid has that bad thumb right now, but he's going to play. And so the points spread is 3 right now. It's 213.5. Vino was talking about liking the under in this game. I think it's a similar situation as the last game, to be honest. I think the Raptors will win the first quarter. I think they'll come out. They'll play well in the first quarter. I think they'll win the first half, and then the game will start to tighten up again. It is. Like, are the Raptors really going to smoke them? I don't think so. Like, is it going to be like the Raptors by 22, 24? It could happen. Like, if the wheels fall off for Philadelphia and somebody gets hurt, and I'm not talking about, like, severely hurt even. I'm just talking about, you know, guys start twisting ankles and falling over and crashing and banging and stuff. And the Raptors are up by 18. They might tap out and say, whatever, we're up 3 games tonight anyways. But, my gut tells me no, that this game is going to be close once again. Like, Philadelphia wanted to lose the game the other night. Like, they were willing to give it up. They didn't play all that well. It was basically Toronto didn't take it and run away with it. So they were like, all right, we might as well win this thing. So it could be a similar situation tomorrow. The Raptors either, you know, punch him in the mouth, deliver that knockout punch, or it could be a problem. Take the Raptors in the first quarter and in the first half. We'll get into Brooklyn and Boston and more on the other side. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, next week, we're going to really get into the NFL draft. Countdown to the draft is on. Big man on campus will step up and in a level 3. We'll talk more NBA basketball with Big Man on Campus. Been a little while since Big Man has been with us.
So, you know what? We're not alone when we talk about these first quarter trends, the first half. Rob Vino was just talking about first halves instead of quarters. We've been talking a lot about the quarters. He's talking about the halves right now. And we're going to ride this train tomorrow. So the Toronto Raptors are plus 0.5 right now. And it matters. Like, you know what I mean? You're like, oh, well, it's only half a point. Well, yeah, no, it does. Like, it could be a tie. These quarters are usually pretty close. So the Raptors are plus 0.5. I think that's a play. You have a team that's down 3-0. They're in a desperate. They're desperate. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to win the game. As I stated, they could come out. We see it time and time again, man. These teams come out hot at home, and then they fall apart as the game goes on. And then the better team, like, overtakes them. But I think the Raptors can win this game, actually. But I like the Raptors plus 0.5 in the first quarter. We'll get to the halves in a second. Dallas and Utah is confusing me. Listen, if Luka doesn't play, which I don't think he is, and the number's gone up to 6 right now, and I mean, they're talking about him playing, it's kind of tough to break down this game. But like we talked about with Rob Vino, man, when Luka Doncic isn't in a lineup, the Dallas Mavericks really push the pace. They play a different style of basketball with Brunson and Dinwiddie attacking the rack, right? When Luka has the ball, he dribbles it, he milks the clock, everything sort of slows down through him. Not that he's not an amazing player, but quite frankly, the Mavericks are balling without him right now. This one confuses me. And it's one thing if Utah lose this series. Like, people are ready to crucify these guys no matter what happens, but it's one thing to lose the series, but if they lose this game again, Luka can play. Like, if you lose both games at home without Doncic, that's going to be tough for everybody. Boston are up to minus 2.5 point underdogs right now in the first quarter. Brooklyn minus 2.5, minus 160 money line. I do like the Nets to come out hot here. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.